That's the Doobie Brothers. What a Fool Believes. It's BBC Radio Berkshire coming up to 8 minutes past 11. So we've been talking about Bridgerton because the new series, season three, drops on Netflix today. Part one of season three. Part two is yet to come because that's not remotely confusing. Anyway, one of the key themes of Bridgerton is, of course, matchmaking, right? There's a lot of focus on reasonably pushy parents during the Regency period trying to find a suitable partner for their child. It was certainly a thing, matchmaking, back in period times. But how does it actually work today? Does it still happen? Well, yes, is the answer. Karen Mooney is from Sarah Eden, a matchmaking agency in Windsor. Morning, Karen.
Good morning, Sarah. Thank you for having me on.
You are so welcome. So how does this differ then, first of all, to maybe online dating, which I know has sprung up since you founded this agency many years ago? But how do you set yourself apart? What do you do differently?
It's quite different, really, to be fair. We meet all our people. So it's you're not a nameless face on a website or something. We meet everybody personally. They supply three forms of ID. So we know they are who they say they are and everything, and then we interview them, get them to sign a confidentiality contract, and select people we think will be suitable for them. So it's a lot more personal. It's a lot more it's a lot more personal. It's not a computer doing it for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And presumably you are, would it be fair to say you are dealing with more affluent members of society who are willing to pay you to do this for them?
Yes, absolutely. Our client base tends to be sort of 40 plus age group now. And they're thinking about, they want to meet somebody they're financially even with, if that makes sense. So somebody who can bring as much to the table as the other person can. And particularly some of our older clients, sort of in the 70s, 80s, whatever, they don't necessarily want to find somebody to get married to, but they want to find somebody to share times together, you know, enjoy each other's company. And they want to leave their money to their children. So, you know, it's important that they meet somebody that's as financially secure as they are.
Right. Now, what's your success rate like?
Gosh, it's very high. We've been going 36 years, so it's a long old time, isn't it? It's very high. We can't promise to find everybody a partner. But you know, we give it a jolly good go, and we've had quite a few success stories this year so far. We had a couple get married in December. And our website's got quite a lot of success stories. These are only people you've asked to go on the website. We can't take everybody on because you can't help everybody. But, you know, we do our best.
So how do you go about doing this? So I get that, you know, there's quite a lot of form filling in. Presumably a lot of that involves likes and dislikes and what you're looking for in a partner. You meet these individuals and a lot of the matchmaking must be intuition on your part, actually. So how are you matching people up in your mind?
Sarah, you're absolutely correct. A lot of it is gut feeling and intuition. It really is. Similar types get on. You don't have to be like nip and nap, but you have to think in a similar way. You have to have similar values. That's really, really important. And, you know, you have to want similar things in the future. And you don't necessarily have to have shared hobbies. Sometimes it's quite nice to have a hobby that's different from your partner's. You know, if he goes off to play golf, you can go off and play bowls or whatever. But it's thinking in a similar way and wanting similar things in the future. That's really important, I think.
Do you ever find yourself in a situation where, you know, you meet somebody, you matchmake them with somebody else, and then someone else comes along a few months later and you think, actually, they would have been even more perfect for that person? You must have such a catalogue of people in your head.
Yes.
All of the time.
It's really funny, isn't it? But you can't, you know, if they're already matched with somebody and they put their membership on hold, there's not a lot you can do about it, really. But certainly, yeah, in my 36 years of running Sarah Eden, I've met people and I thought, gosh, she would have been ideal for John.
I can imagine it's quite a frustrating experience sometimes from that perspective. And how grateful are the people who you introduce to each other, who go on to form long-term relationships? How grateful to you are they? Because they must feel as though they want to keep you in the loop throughout every twist and turn of their relationship after that.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, next week I've been taken out to lunch by one of our couples because they're just so grateful. They've just celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary, which is really nice. It's really lovely to stay in contact with people, I think. And when we had our 30th celebrations in 2018, one of our couples came along and he said, "My son's 48, he's an airline pilot, and you just can't meet the right sort of people." And so his son came along and met a lovely lady, and they've now got a beautiful daughter.
So, and were it not for you, then there would be some people in this world would not exist, right? Which is quite the achievement, I would argue. Is there still a place in society for this kind of organisation? Because you must have felt the hits of the rise of online dating. And I completely understand what you're saying about, you know, you provide a kind of vetting process, don't you? You make sure that people are who they say they are first and foremost. And then it's about, you know, tying the right people together based upon instinct. Have you seen numbers fall since the rise of, you know, Bumble and Tinder and Match.com and everything else?
No, we've actually seen increase. I mean, when internet dating first came in, it took away the bottom end of the market, as it were. But people are much more discerning now. And the sort of people we cater for, you know, they want to meet somebody who's been met, who's been interviewed, who's, you know, we've done our due diligence on that person. Most people come in through word of mouth, which is brilliant, or listen to Radio Berkshire, of course. We've seen it increase, particularly since the pandemic, because dating fall went through the roof during the pandemic. And some of the stories I heard, it was awful. I'm also a press officer for our trade association. And, you know, somebody, I remember speaking to this lady, and she'd been widowed. And on a dating site, if you put widow, it's for a scammer that is, she's got lots of money. Mm. And she was corresponding with this man, and he said he was in America, gave her a sob story and everything, that his daughter was ill, could she lend him money? Of course, she sent him money, and she never heard from him again. Because when you've been widowed and you've been in a, whether you're male or female, when you've been in a happy relationship with somebody, you think everyone's going to be like that. Mm. But they're not. That's why it's we like to look after our members and make sure they're cared for, and they meet somebody who's financially as well off as them.
Yeah. Karen, thank you for your time. That's Karen Mooney from Sarah Eden, a matchmaking agency in Windsor. Just gone 11:15. Olivia Rodrigo now. This is Vampire.